Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Healthy for the holidays. Safety tips to keep kids healthy this season. The hustle and bustle of the holiday season can be a fun, exciting time. However, holiday decorations, parties, and cold weather can pose threats to children. Quote, the decor, the gifts, and the fun outdoor activities can be a lot of fun for families, especially children, end quote, says Peter Reisner, MD, a family medicine physician at Mayo Clinic Health System in the Chetek, Wisconsin. Quote, but parents should be aware of the hidden dangers they may not be thinking about when putting up the Christmas tree or heading out for an afternoon of sledding, end quote. Reisner recommends these safety tips while preparing for the holidays. 1. Manage your Christmas tree. If you have a real tree, ensure the tree stand is always filled with water so the tree doesn't dry out and pose an increased fire hazard. If you buy an artificial tree, make sure it is made from fire-retardant material. Make sure the stand is flat on the ground and decorate the tree to equally distribute weight. 2. Keep flames away. Don't leave children alone in a room with lighted candles, matches, lighters, fireplaces, or any other sources of flame or heat. Watch for tempting seasonal decor. Keep decorations out of reach of children and secured to the wall. Any object small enough to fit through a toilet paper tube can obstruct a child's airway. Closely supervise children if they're helping you decorate, especially when handling lighting, ornaments, and breakable objects. 4. Keep plants out of little hands. Keep mistletoe, holly, berries, and poinsettias out of reach of children, as each is toxic when ingested. 5. Remember electricity safety. Use power strips with built-in circuit breakers. Avoid putting too many plugs into one electrical outlet. Keep cords out of the way or behind furniture, and insert electrical outlet covers into unused outlets. Purchase lights with the UL listed mark, which certifies that the product has been tested to meet safety requirements. 6. Find safe toys. Make sure your children's toys are age-appropriate and the batteries cannot be easily removed. Batteries shaped like discs or button batteries pose a choking risk to young children. Avoid placing gifts under the tree that contain glass, perfume, or cologne, poisonous substances, or sharp materials. 7. Monitor alcohol in the home. Keep alcohol out of reach of children. Quickly clean up leftover drinks. 8. Bundle up and use safety gear. Dress children properly for the weather, making sure that their hands, feet, and heads are covered. Supervise children and make sure they wear the correct safety gear for sledding, skiing, snowboarding, ice skating, and other outdoor activities. Quote, carefully inspecting your home and taking care of any safety hazards can ensure you and your children have a happy and safe holiday season, end quote, says Reisner. Mayo Clinic Minute. Best cooking fats for healthy cholesterol levels. Are you trying to remember which fat is the good fat to use in the kitchen? If you are confused about whether to use unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, or saturated fats when cooking, it's understandable. It can be confusing. Dr. Regis Fernandez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, says fats that raise your bad cholesterol levels and increase your risk for heart disease are the ones to avoid. Quote, saturated fat is a type of fat that solidifies in room temperature, end quote, says Fernandez. Coconut oil is an example, so is palm oil. Quote, saturated fat consumption is directly related to cholesterol levels in the blood, end quote, he says. Quote, the higher the saturated fat intake, the higher will be the cholesterol level in the blood, end quote. Quote, there are two types of unsaturated fats that are considered healthy fats. We have the polyunsaturated fats and you have the monounsaturated fats. And those two types of fats are considered the good fats because they do not raise the LDL cholesterol, end quote, says Fernandez. LDL is low-density lipoprotein. That's the bad cholesterol. The opposite is high-density lipoprotein. Quote, HDL is considered a good cholesterol because it's measuring the amount of cholesterol that is removed from your arteries back to the liver, end quote, Fernandez says. You'll find these good fats in olive oil, avocado oil, and soybean and vegetable oil. Try these tips to reduce unhealthy fats in your diet. Use oil instead of butter. For example, saute with olive oil instead of butter and use canola oil when baking. Eat fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids, such as salmon, instead of meat at least twice a week. Choose lean meat and skinless poultry. Trim visible fat from meat. Remove fat and skin from poultry. Limit processed foods, which often contain saturated fat. Instead, reach for whole fruits and vegetables when you're hungry. Mayo Clinic Minute. Best cooking fats for healthy cholesterol levels. Are you trying to remember which fat is the good fat to use in the kitchen? If you are confused about whether to use unsaturated fats, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, or saturated fats when cooking, it's understandable. It can be confusing. Dr. Regis Fernandez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, says fats that raise your bad cholesterol levels and increase your risk for heart disease are the ones to avoid. Quote, saturated fat is a type of fat that solidifies in room temperature, end quote, says Fernandez. Coconut oil is an example, so is palm oil. Quote, saturated fat consumption is directly related to cholesterol levels in the blood, end quote, he says. Quote, the higher the saturated fat intake, the higher will be the cholesterol level in the blood, end quote. Quote, there are two types of unsaturated fats that are considered healthy fats. We have the polyunsaturated fats and you have the monounsaturated fats. And those two types of fats are considered the good fats because they do not raise the LDL cholesterol, end quote, says Fernandez. LDL is low-density lipoprotein. That's the bad cholesterol. The opposite is high-density lipoprotein. Quote, HDL is considered a good cholesterol because it's measuring the amount of cholesterol that is removed from your arteries back to the liver, end quote, Fernandez says. You'll find these good fats in olive oil, avocado oil, and soybean and vegetable oil. Try these tips to reduce unhealthy fats in your diet. Use oil instead of butter. For example, saute with olive oil instead of butter and use canola oil when baking. Eat fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids, such as salmon, instead of meat at least twice a week. Choose lean meat and skinless poultry. Trim visible fat from meat. Remove fat and skin from poultry. Limit processed foods, which often contain saturated fat. Instead, reach for whole fruits and vegetables when you're hungry. Mayo Clinic Q&A. Self-care steps to keep your heart healthy. Dear Mayo Clinic, I have read that heart attacks are more common around the holidays. Why does that happen? Is there anything I can do to lower my risk? I currently take blood pressure medication, and heart disease runs in my family. Answer. Heart attacks, along with heart problems in general, are more common around the holidays. Various factors can play into this, including stress, travel, disrupted schedules, changes in diet, and even environmental factors. Fortunately, many self-care steps can help you keep your heart healthy. One of the biggest challenges this time of year is healthy eating. For people with cardiovascular health problems, choosing a heart-healthy diet amid an abundance of holiday foods can be daunting. But not straying too far from your normal diet is important. Keep portion sizes reasonable and limit fatty foods. Eating too much can lead to chest pain or shortness of breath in some people with heart problems. Drink small amounts of alcohol, if any, as alcohol can raise your risk for heart rhythm problems and heart attack. Men should not drink more than 2 alcoholic beverages a day. Women should not have more than 1. Watch the amount of salt or sodium you consume. If your heart pumping function is reduced or if you have heart failure, your ability to manage fluid and to process salt is diminished. To limit fluid retention in such cases, a low-salt diet often is recommended. Controlling salt can be hard, however, when you eat out or dine at someone else's home. Ask the cook if he or she might limit the amount of salt added. Find out which foods are lower in salt. Limit canned and prepared foods along with gravies and sauces, as they tend to be very high in sodium. Travel and schedule changes also can be barriers to heart health during the holidays. Staying on schedule with your medications can be challenging when you switch time zones or when you are away from your daily routines. But taking your medication as prescribed is critical. Set up reminders to yourself or ask someone to help keep you on track. If you are planning to travel to another time zone, ask your pharmacist if medication schedule changes are necessary. Winter weather also may increase the use of wood burning stoves and fireplaces, but it is important to have proper ventilation. There is a fair amount of data that indicates increased exposure to certain pollutants and particulate matter can increase the risk of both heart and pulmonary issues. Older individuals or those with existing cardiac conditions should consider dressing in layers and limit time they are exposed to wood smoke. As much as possible, continue the self-care you do at home. For example, if you weigh yourself every day to help maintain your fluid balance, find a scale where you can do that. If a walk is part of your routine, invite your family to go with you and enjoy some company along with the exercise. Finally, it is important to keep stress in check. Increased stress can raise a person's risk for a heart attack. We think of the holiday season as a happy time, but that isn't always reality. For some people, the holidays can be sad and stressful. If that is your situation, try to give yourself a break. Plan and do what is reasonable. If you have feelings of sadness or depression that last more than 2 weeks, see your healthcare professional. If you start to feel sick, seek help. Don't ignore symptoms because you feel badly about disrupting a holiday gathering. Tell someone right away if you notice new or changing chest discomfort, especially if it radiates to your back or to your arm, neck, or jaw. Other symptoms of heart problems include shortness of breath, feeling clammy or lightheaded, an irregular heartbeat, and swelling in your legs. Getting medical help is particularly critical if these symptoms last or if they don't improve after taking your usual medications. The holidays are a high-risk time for heart problems, especially in people who have existing heart conditions. Pay attention to your body. As much as possible, stick to a heart-healthy lifestyle. And above all, if you have symptoms of heart problems, ask for help right away. Study: Severe Obesity Increasing in U.S. Kids. New York. A new study adds to evidence that severe obesity is becoming more common in young U.S. children. There was some hope that children in a government food program might be bucking a trend in obesity rates. Earlier research found rates were dropping a little about a decade ago for those kids, but an update released Monday in the journal Pediatrics shows the rate bounced back up a bit by 2020. The increase echoes other national data, which suggests around 2.5% of all preschool-age children were severely obese during the same period. Quote, "We were doing well, and now we see this upward trend," end quote, said one of the study's authors, Heidi Blank of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Quote, "We are dismayed at seeing these findings," end quote. The study looked at children ages 2 to 4 enrolled in the Women, Infants, and Children program, which provides healthy foods and other services to preschool-aged children in low-income families. The children were weighed and measured. The researchers found that 2.1% of kids in the program were severely obese in 2010. 6 years later, the rate had dipped to 1.8%. By 2020, it was 2%. That translates to about 33,000 of more than 1.6 million kids in the WIC program. Significant increases were seen in 20 states, with the highest rate in California, at 2.8%. There also were notable rises in some racial and ethnic groups. The highest rate, about 2.8%, was in Hispanic kids. Experts say severe obesity at a very early age is nearly irreversible and is strongly associated with chronic health problems and an early death. It's not clear why the increase occurred, Blank said. When WIC obesity rates dropped, some experts attributed it to 2009 policy changes that eliminated juice from infant food packages, provided less saturated fat, and tried to make it easier to buy fruits and vegetables. The package hasn't changed. But, quote, "the daily hardships that families living in poverty are facing may be harder today than they were 10 years ago. And the slight increases in the WIC package just weren't enough," end quote, said Dr. Sarah Armstrong, a Duke University childhood obesity researcher. The researchers faced challenges. The number of kids in WIC declined in the past decade, and the study period included 2020, the year the COVID-19 pandemic hit, when fewer parents brought their children in to see doctors. That reduced the amount of complete information available. Despite its limitations, it was a, quote, "very well done study," end quote, said Deanna Holscher, a childhood obesity researcher at the UT Health Houston School of Public Health. Quote, it gives you a hint of what's going on, end quote. What's happened since 2020 is not yet known. Some small studies have suggested a marked increase in childhood obesity, especially during the pandemic. When kids were kept home from schools, eating and bedtime routines were disrupted and physical activity decreased. Quote, we are thinking it's going to get worse, end quote, Holscher said.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Oil Report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, December 16th. Oil industry still studying EPA's new methane rules. The story was written by Mela McEwen, oil editor. Permian Basin oil and gas companies continue to study the Environmental Protection Agency's new methane emissions rules issued 2 weeks ago. Quote, this rule addresses oil and gas operations in an effort to reduce emissions, but it doesn't directly address quantification and reporting, Ryan Keyes, president and co-founder of Triple Crown Resources, told a reporter telegram by email. Keyes, whose company has not only been proactive in addressing emissions, but has also made numerous presentations on their efforts, noted a separate rule, yet to be finalized, addresses the methane intensity fee included in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act and changes to how emissions are quantified and reported. Looking at the rules, Shankar Anamale, Senior Vice President, Permian and Emissions Technologies at Champion X, said he believes it contains a pathway for operators. Quote, the EPA is acknowledging and accepting early adopters of new technology. What we see, at least, is a roadmap Champion X has already established that will help customers navigate the regulatory environment, he said. Quote, in an ideal world, the oil and gas industry wouldn't even feel the effects of a rule like this, as most of us go out of our way to limit emissions because it makes sense for our businesses. But this rulemaking involved folks from all over the country that have very different perspectives, Keyes wrote. Most of the production coming from the Permian is coming from bigger companies operating high-rate horizontal wells who are already complying voluntarily with this rule, whether they already know that or not, again, because it makes business sense. They've been part of a variety of voluntary initiatives for years to climb the learning curve on all this, so none of this is especially new, he wrote. Operators of marginal wells are going to have a steeper learning curve, but this rule provides flexibility to choose what technology to use, which will keep compliance costs down, he added. There's even an option for operators to keep using audio-visual olfactory monitoring, or AVO, which most are already doing, he noted. He cautioned that the super emitter provision, allowing third parties to report on large leaks greater than 100,000 cubic feet per day, opens up a Pandora's box. Quote, for example, what if an operator gets blamed for a leak that isn't theirs? The risk to operators here is not someone running around with an OGI camera. Rather, it's a large, sophisticated non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, with very advanced technology. No one wants methane leaks, especially not big ones. The best protection against the risk here is to prevent big leaks before they happen. Our big leaks historically came from equipment that isn't supposed to leak, so we had to change our thinking after we started getting real data, he wrote. Keyes pointed out there is a lot of great technology and service providers available to help operators understand how emissions mitigation fits into their business. Champion X is already releasing new technology, according to Anomaly, pointing to its new Aura optical gas imaging camera that promises greater clarity to uncover emissions leaks. OGI technology is a key compliance lever, he said. The new rules allow for aerial OGI use attached to helicopters, especially beneficial in the Permian Basin with its wide range of production sites. Continuous monitoring with SUFI, which issues alerts in real time, is another technology that helps producers comply with Quad O regulations. Anomaly sees smaller Permian Basin operators increasingly adopting advanced technology as awareness grows that it's the right thing to do. Chevron increasing Permian spending in 2024. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Chevron is planning to open its pocketbook a bit wider in 2024 and will be betting big on its U.S. upstream operations. The company has released its 2024 capital expenditure plans, detailing plans to spend $16 billion in 2024, up from $14 billion in 2023. Of that $16 billion, $14 billion is designated for upstream operations, two-thirds of which is allocated to the U.S. Of that $14 billion in upstream expenditures, $6.5 billion will be used to develop Chevron's U.S. shale and tight gas portfolio, including $5 billion for Permian Basin development. That $5 billion is up from $4 billion in 2023. Chevron, which produced 777,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in the Permian in the third quarter, remains on track to produce 1 million barrels of oil equivalent per day from its Permian Basin holdings by 2025. The company is also continuing its low-carbon investments, budgeting about $2 billion for low-carbon capital expenditures across the entire company. This summer, the company put online its Hayhurst Solar Power Facility in Eddy County, New Mexico, to provide 20 megawatts of renewable power for its Permian Basin operations. Other low-carbon initiatives Chevron will invest in next year include a partnership with Microsoft, Clean Energy Systems, and SLB, formerly Schlumberger, to construct a carbon capture facility in Mendota, California, that will use one or two direct air capture units to capture and extract 300,000 metric tons per year of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Chevron is also spending $950 million on expansion at its renewable diesel plant in Geismar, Louisiana, and increased capacity from 100 million gallons per year of renewable diesel to 340 million gallons per year. Quote, "We're maintaining capital discipline in both traditional and new energies," said Chevron Chief Executive Officer Mike Wirth, in releasing the company's 2024 capital expenditure plans.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.